Toll Road Investors Partnership LP versus State Corporation Commission and others. Robert W. Lofton, Jonathan Ellis, Brent McKnight Jr., Appellants Counsel, John F. Dudley, Kevin M. Gallagher, Nicholas J. Lawrence, Andrew J. Flavin, Pierre Rivera Rivera, Stephen P. Press, Counsel for the Appellees.
You may proceed.
May it please the court, good morning. My name is Robert Lofton from McGuire Woods on behalf of TRIP 2. With me at council's table are my colleague Jonathan Ellis in the center and Brent McKnight at the end. Mr. Chief Justice, if I may, I'd like to reserve 4 minutes for a rebuttal.
All right.
Is there an echo?
I don't hear it.
Okay. Subject to the court's questions, I'll first address material discouragement, then reasonableness, and then conclude by addressing the takings issue presented in the case. With regard to material discouragement, the commission misinterpreted and misapplied the relevant portions of 542A and 542D, which this court reviews de novo. The commission's analysis and holding consists of one sentence in its final order, which is at Joint Appendix 2215, where it agreed with the hearing examiner's report. The hearing examiner acknowledged that TRIP 2's material discouragement analysis contained within its investment grade travel demand model complied with the requirements established by the General Assembly in 2021, but ultimately rejected TRIP 2's analysis because TRIP 2 compared its 2024 proposed toll rates with the 2022 rates that were last adopted by the commission. The hearing examiner erroneously adopted the arguments advanced by Loudoun County and staff and concluded that the analysis can only compare the 2024 proposed tolls again in a vacuum. Excuse me. Frankly, this is an incoherent reading of 542A. It fails to read 542A correctly, and it fails to read 542A in light of the requirements of 542D. It also fails to articulate a methodology that reflects actual market conditions impacting the tolls on the Greenway, such as the effects of COVID on traffic, the effects of inflation, and the current toll structure that the commission had previously.
Is it clear that the examiner and the SEC were both actually using a diminished growth rate formula? Or is it simply a way of describing what they actually did?
I think, Justice Kelsey, I would say it's both. What we've argued in our brief is that essentially what the commission did in looking at the 2024 proposed tolls in a vacuum is they essentially measured the percentage of growth of traffic that would or would not occur. And as TRIP 2's expert testified, one, that's not what an investment grade travel demand model requires. There's always a baseline. And here, what the commission essentially did is there's no baseline. And they looked at the proposed tolls by themselves in isolation, and they stripped them out from the entire model that we submitted to the commission. And in doing so, if you look at the language of 542A, materially discouraged use means to cause a decrease in traffic. Well, a decrease in traffic measured how? The General Assembly hasn't defined it. And so methodologically, from our perspective, and I think it makes sense when you look at what VDOT does in the P3 framework, it looks at the base tolls and it compares how the percent, whatever the percentage increase that's being proposed, how that will impact traffic from the current traffic modeling. Mm-hmm. And what the commission did here is it adopted essentially the arguments of Loudoun County, and in doing so, methodologically what that did is it enabled Loudoun to argue. I mean, Loudoun argued two different things. It said one, the proposed tolls would materially discourage use because it would affect traffic by 6.3%, which is more than the 3% in the statute. They also argued that it would impact traffic in excess of 23%.
Can I interrupt you again? So
yes, sir.
Let's suppose hypothetically you're right, that the proper interpretation of the relationship of subsection A and D requires an actual reduction in traffic as opposed to a growth rate of traffic. Does that mean you win the case?
Yes, it does mean we win the case.
Well, there were two factors that the commission had to consider, not just the question of diminution.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And so I think if you look at our, if you look at the model that we submitted, at the, excuse me, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. If you look at the model that we submitted, we showed that, in fact, the traffic would increase with our proposed tolls as a whole.
Was the commission required to accept that as accurate?
No, the commission's not required to accept that as accurate. But in rejecting it, the commission does have to articulate a definition and an interpretation of 542A and 542D that is coherent.
Does the record reflect that your client historically has overestimated use when it has applied for toll increases?
Yes.
Could the commission have taken that into account in evaluating whether to accept your model or not?
Yes, it could have. The hearing examiner did not rely on that explicitly in rejecting our model. I understand, Justice Russell, your point. And I think, you know, we made the point below before the commission, you know, projecting tolls, projecting traffic it's part art and it's part science.
And I understand your reliance on the Duquesne line of cases, mm-hmm. but what makes this different to me than a monopoly service territory utility case is, yes, somebody may adjust their thermostat from 72 to 74 at the margin, but they don't disconnect from the grid. And it seems to me this potentially involves people effectively disconnecting from the road.
Well, possibly, but I think that's all the more reason why our analysis is correct. Because here, Trip 2 competes in a market that has very vigorous competition. And the users of the Greenway voluntarily choose to use the Greenway. There's no compulsion. We're not a monopoly, and we don't have a set service area. And as Standard & Poor's recognized, and we included this in our supplemental appendix with our reply brief, they've downgraded Trip 2 again, in part because of the difficulty of getting a toll increase through the State Corporation Commission. And so I think if you look at, I recognize that, to your point, the projections.
Well, isn't it also, sir, partly because a fairly good argument could be made that it's been mismanaged, that their debt actually well exceeds the initial investment and the initial cost of construction?
I would respectfully, Justice Mann, I would disagree with that, the characterization of mismanagement. I think that the debt that has been incurred, if you look at the hearing examiner's report in this case, or the hearing examiner's reports from the prior cases that we included in our supplemental appendix, the debt that has been incurred, I would say, has been prudently incurred. The General Assembly was well aware of the cost of the Greenway when it approved the Highway Corporation Act, but prior to the issuance of the Certificate of Authority by the State Corporation Commission. And since that time, the debt that has been incurred by the Greenway has been approved by the Commission.
And well, if I could, moving slightly away from there, following up on Justice Russell's question, if the finding was there was an overstatement or an overinflation of certain multipliers, mm-hmm. which drove, to a certain extent, the analysis on the first assignment of error. Mm-hmm. How do we deal with that given the standard of review that we really, at the end of the day, have to deal with?
Well, I think, are you talking about the reasonable aspect, or do you want me
the
to address?
Diminution.
So I think, are you talking about the how the staff calculated but beneath 1.0?
But also how your own expert calculated it. And there were differences. But yes, the staff basically said the multipliers were overinflated, the multipliers mm-hmm. were overstated. Mm-hmm. That decision comes to us with certain presumptions relative to our standard of review, and I think it's important to address it.
Yes, sir. I understand your question, Justice Mann. I'm well aware of the standard of review and the presumption that the commission's decision arrives at this court with. But ultimately, that's a question of law because it involves a definition of reasonable and whether the commission is going to adhere to the rule that it historically has advanced, that there is no bright line test for determining whether a proposed toll increase is reasonable. They've always looked, historically, they've always looked at all of the factors, and as this court recognized in its 2016 case, the commission and this court has always had the constitutional concerns in the back of their mind to prevent a taking. And here, what the commission did, well, essentially, the commission's holding on the reasonableness prong was the same holding on the material discouragement prong. It was one sentence in its final order where it adopted the hearing examiner's report. And what it did is it created a new test where there was an absolute pass-fail test. STEER offered the its benefit-cost ratio of 1.0 as an example for why the benefits outweighed the costs for the toll increase. The ultimate decision on whether the toll increase should be determined for this prong is whether it's reasonable.
So a big deal by everyone has been made of this issue of your client's experts talked about how the report only contemplated full trips, where mm-hmm. many of those trips are not full trips, but right. they still have to pay the whole freight. Can you address that? And,
yes,
and should it be as important as it appears to be on the papers?
To answer that last part of your question, no, it should not be as important. The commission has always only required a full trip analysis. If you look at the Greenway, it's a 14-mile toll road. It's not currently set up for distance-based tolling. And in the last rate case, Trip 2 did submit an analysis, which was essentially an extrapolation of the full trip analysis to show that the toll increases requested in 2019 would also benefit partial trip users. Here, but there's never been a requirement that Trip 2 analyze both partial trips and full trips and break them out separately. It's always been a holistic inquiry, which I think comports with the definition of reasonable. While the General Assembly hasn't defined it in the Highway Corporation Act, we've defined it pursuant to Blacks. Yes, Justice Russell.
Asking you not to accept that this is the state of play, but hypothetically.
Yes, sir.
If the commission sets the toll from the choices available to it at a level that maximizes your revenue, do all of your statutory and constitutional arguments go away?
Possibly. Yes, sir. I think that's the best answer I could give.
Then tell me why, on this record, that's not a reasonable conclusion for us to draw. That they did. I mean, there is evidence before the commission. There was evidence before the commission that the rate selected maximizes your revenue, correct?
No, sir. I would disagree with that.
Page 809 of the joint appendix?
Page 809 of the joint appendix? Yes, sir, that's an exhibit.
If that exhibit is credited, where are we?
Well, that's the exhibit from Loudoun County.
Okay.
So our position is the proposed tolls that we requested would give us the bare minimum to allow us to continue to service our debt, meet maintenance and operation costs, and put us on a path so that investors could one day have a return.
I understand that.
So
I understand there's conflict in the evidence, but
yes,
if
sir.
The evidence is that setting it where they said it actually maximizes your revenue, given the moving part of how it affects users and things.
Well, and we
I know you reject that.
We rejected that. Because that's part of the reason why we submitted the alternative tolls, which would to illustrate that even at a lower toll rate than what we have requested, it would not give us sufficient funds to operate and to continue to function.
If that's not a function of the toll setting, but is a function of market conditions, where are we?
Well, I don't think that's a function of market conditions, because if you look at the market for toll roads in Northern Virginia, the tolls charged on the Greenway are less than all of the other toll roads in the area. So we're currently, at our current toll rates and for what we asked for in this last proceeding, we're below market.
Mr. Loftus, you're down like 20 seconds.
Yes, sir. I'll save the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
May it please the court, John Dudley with the commission. I'd like to start with the reasonable to the user requirement. And the first thing I need to say is the hearing examiner did not change the commission's standard. The first sentence in his discussion said the commission's longstanding precedent has been whether or not there are positive benefits. That's the standard. He didn't change it, but then he applied that standard to the specific evidence in this case. And he made two separate findings, either of which said he found that TRIP 2 had not proven or met the standard. One, TRIP 2 put up that quantitative model that said if it comes out greater than one, that proves positive benefits. And then when the examiner used the inputs that he found reasonable, it came out less than one. But he didn't say just a complete pass-fail test. He also looked at the qualitative benefits and concluded that the qualitative benefits do not outweigh the qualitative costs. And back to the standard review for the inputs for the model, there's a lot of testimony and other inputs that could have been used other than staff's. The standard of review is not if the commission could have done something different, but was there support in the evidence for what the commission did.
Can I ask you this? Clearly, on the reasonableness prong, for sure, and there's no one on this court that would ever doubt that. But the interpretation of 542A and D and the relationship of those two subsections is, to me, an interpretation of a statutory provision that is a de novo review. So explain to me, did the SEC and the examiner actually say that the diminution in growth that is being contemplated by those two provisions is a diminution in growth rate, as opposed to simply a diminution in absolute traffic numbers?
I do not believe that was directly addressed, at least I'm not aware of.
His argument is that functionally that's the way the analysis seems to be. And is that the view of the SEC?
I agree it's de novo for the court and the statutory construction, and that's what the examiner and the commission did. They looked at the language of the statute, which requires, one, a forward-looking analysis.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt again, but what is the State Corporation's Commission's view on the growth rate formula? Is it a growth rate that measures the diminution of growth rate, or is it a growth of absolute traffic?
I would argue that we don't accept it's a growth rate question, that if you look at the language, it says a change in traffic attributable to the rate charged. So the examiner and the commission looked at it as a change in traffic standard. It didn't start with the growth rate concept, didn't discuss them aware of the growth rate concept, but that the language of the definition of materially discouraged says a change in traffic. And so that's what the examiner and the commission focused on, the change in traffic attributable to the toll rate charged. There's only one way to get that number, and that's with your forward-looking analysis.
But what about subsection A? Doesn't subsection A imply that we're talking about an absolute traffic figure as opposed to a diminution in growth rate?
And I would argue,
the 3% delta?
I would argue that you get an absolute traffic figure in A, the definition. You're looking forward, and you're saying with the forward-looking analysis that D requires, and you're saying with the current toll, this is what the traffic is. With your requested toll, this is what the traffic would be. And that change is the absolute difference that's attributable to the new toll. And I think an evidence that shows where one of the problems with their analysis is when you do their analysis, they say if you raise toll rates by 40% or up to 40%, you're going to increase usage by over 8%. Well, that, you know, factually, it cannot be the change in traffic attributable to the toll. Dr. Webb, it's just not me, testified that that's not the demand elasticity. And that goes, I think, to the joint appendix site that Justice Russell pointed. But that's not the demand elasticity for the Greenway. You're not going to raise tolls by up to 40% and see an increase in usage by over 8.
Mr. Dudley, while I don't think Duquesne Light, the model, fits exactly to our situation because of the reasons I stated earlier, the commission concedes that it could set the rate at such a level that affects a confiscatory taking. 25 cents would comply with the three factors in the statute. I mean, it wouldn't discourage use, there'd be great benefit, and certainly they would not make no more than, I believe is the language of the statute, but that would be a problem, right?
Yes.
Why isn't the rate that the commission set effectively that? Why isn't it effectively setting it at 25 cents if they can't make any money?
I really wish I understood that question.
Their position is you've essentially set their rate at a quarter. They can't win. I mean, you've set it at higher than a quarter, but that they can't make money doing what they're doing.
Oh, by win, you mean they can't make?
Right.
The commission has approached this, the two requirements that were taken. The commission was requested to lower the most recent case that was, can I continue?
Your time is up, but go ahead, finish the question.
The most recent case that was argued was because somebody wanted to lower the toll rate, and the commission applied the statutory standards and said, no, the current toll rate at that time satisfied the statutory standards. So it's not just lowering to zero, if I'm understanding the question.
Well, no, and Chief, may I follow up?
Yes, you may.
My point is there is some rate where it becomes constitutionally problematic, where you would be seizing their property. You've picked this rate. They say it's constitutionally problematic at the rate you've selected. Why are they wrong if you think they are wrong?
Yeah, and I guess maybe that's where the Solicitor General is going to argue the constitutional question, because since the commission decided not to address it, the order didn't speak to it, so there's only so much I can speak to it. But the commission did find, back to the order, that there was evidence in the case that the financial integrity was not threatened. The commission did make that finding.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Council.
Good morning, and may it please the court. I'm Kevin Gallagher, Principal Deputy Solicitor General, representing the Commonwealth. The State Corporation Commission correctly rejected Trip 2's proposed toll increases on the Dulles Greenway. First, the Constitution does not require Trip 2's financial problems to be remedied by imposing unjust burdens on the public. Second, toll increases decrease ridership, and Trip 2's proposed 40% toll increases would significantly decrease ridership. Finally, the Commission correctly found that Trip 2's proposed tolls are unreasonable by weighing the evidence, and Trip 2 cannot show that these factual findings were without evidentiary support. This Court should therefore affirm. To begin, the Commission's denial of the proposed tolls does not violate the Takings Clause. The Supreme Court has held since the 1890s that the Constitution does not require the public to be subjected to unreasonable rates so that investors can earn a return on investment.
But my question to Commissioner Dudley, setting it at a quarter would comply with the statute, would clearly be confiscatory. You concede that, right?
If the Supreme Court has been clear that if a regulator is destroying the value of a company, that would be confiscatory.
Okay.
But
So if a quarter is clearly confiscatory, if we can agree on that, then their position is that this is, although higher than a quarter, effectively no better for our business than a quarter. Why do you contend that that is not the case here?
I would point this court to the Market Street Railway case. That's the case from the United States Supreme Court. That case talked about that the standard that TRIP2 has relied upon in this entire proceeding is only applying to, I think you mentioned, utilities that have a monopoly, that have earning opportunities outside of the context of regulation, and it's regulation that is holding back their earning opportunities. In Market Street, the Supreme Court explained that if there's an ailing company, that their investment is impaired by either economic forces or competition from outside, that does not create a constitutional problem. The Constitution doesn't require the government to ensure value or restore values that are lost. And so I would point this court again to Market Street. Dulles Greenway is suffering from low demand from the beginning. They have never met their projections. I think they had projected that in 2023, there'd be 127,000 riders on the Greenway. There's about less than 40,000 now. And then also high debt. I believe it's $1.2 billion in debt. So the combination of the low ridership, the high debt, and then competition from free alternatives in Loudoun County has created the situation in which they find themselves.
So in plain terms, you're saying that the toll road investors are investors, and investment is risky, and they made some bad calls.
That's exactly right. I would point this court also to a line of cases, you know, going through Duquesne Light that talk about that in the context of regulation, we need to look at the corresponding risks. This is not a utility. This is an investor in a toll road that was always going to have competition from other free alternatives in Loudoun County. And the investors, basically the Constitution does not require the regulator to prop up the value of that company. Unless there are any further questions about the constitutional argument, I'll move on to the material discouragement. The Commission also correctly held that the proposed tolls would materially discourage use of the Greenway. The statute requires the Commission to deny the proposed tolls if there would be a decrease in traffic of 3 or more percentage points, quote, attributable to the toll rate charged. I would also like to point out I have Nick Lawrence here from Loudoun County, our friends in Loudoun County. Their brief made the point that the court should analyze the effect of the toll rate charged rather than the toll rate increase.
But to an average person, if you said, is there a decrease in traffic, you would think a decrease in traffic, not a decrease in the growth rate of traffic. But the arguments being made is that the hearing examiner and the SEC essentially did the second analysis. Is that even correct to begin with?
I don't believe that is correct, Your Honor, and for this reason. You need to look at the entire phrase of in the statutory language, which is that the decrease of 3 or more percentage points is attributable to the toll rate charged. The way to look at that would be to project traffic into 2024 with and without the proposed tolls. It is basically controlling for the proposed tolls. And once you have that, there is a decrease in traffic. It went down from, I believe, 38,000 trips to 36,000 trips. So while population growth, COVID recovery, employment growth, things like that would create an increase from 2022 to 2024, the tolls would cause a decrease as projected in 2024. They would cause a decrease of almost 2,000 trips, which is about 6.3%.
Okay.
Here, the record evidence is unanimous, both from TRIP2's side and from our side, that if you compare the 2024 traffic with and without the proposed tolls, there is that 6.3% decrease. TRIP2 put forward a standard which is not controlling for the factor that was being looked at. It's, again, employment growth, population growth, COVID recovery. Any number of those things can cause the raw increase from 2022 to 2024. But when you control for all those factors, the proposed tolls do, in fact, materially discourage use of the road. And I want to make sure I do make that last point from Loudoun County, that there's a debate between TRIP2 and Loudoun County on the toll rate increase versus the toll rate charge. TRIP2 says that you all should look at the toll rate increased, but I would point again to the language of the statute. The General Assembly has made clear that the decrease needs to be attributable to the toll rate charged. And finally, unless there are any further questions about material discouragement, I'll move on briefly to the last factor, the reasonable to the user. And again, I want to make clear that the statute requires the Commission to, in the public interest, deny the proposed tolls if the TRIP2 does not meet each of the three factors. There's no debate about the reasonable return here, but if TRIP2 fails either the material discouragement prong or the reasonable to the user prong, then the Commission was amply justified in rejecting the proposed rules.
So in theory, if the court were to agree with you on the first prong, we technically don't need to get to the second prong and try to unpack that.
That's correct. As long as there was a justification for rejecting the tolls, that would be perfectly appropriate, Your Honor. And so on that point, I would point this court to the deferential standard of review. The commission is entitled to look at the conflicting evidence, which there certainly is conflicting evidence in the record. We're not denying that. But the commission is well within its right to look at that conflicting evidence, determine the weight to give it, and then come to reasonable conclusions, which is exactly what happened here. And I just want to highlight two problems with Trip 2's analysis. First, Trip 2 only put forward information about full trips. The problem with that is not a full trips versus partial trips analysis. It's the fact that 70% of the trips on the Greenway are partial trips. So Trip 2 only put forward information about 30% of the trips. It's very difficult to find out whether the tolls are reasonable to the user when you're only putting information about 30% of the trips. Secondly, as to those 30% of the trips, the actual analysis they did do, staff reasonably pointed out many errors with the travel time savings, reliability savings, and the safety benefits. And when recalibrated, it showed that even under Trip 2's own analysis, it flunks its own test. Unless there are any further questions, we would ask this court to affirm the commission.
All right. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
You have 20 seconds for rebuttal.
Justice Russell, if you look at Joint Appendix 1756, that's our rebuttal exhibit, specifically 1777 to 1779. That answers your question, I believe. Regarding the takings issue, if you disagree with us on the statutory construction, I would urge the court, you have to address the constitutional issues, because if we do not get the toll increases, existing precedent is clear that the failure to give us the funds to operate is a taking. This court had touched on it.
It doesn't depend on the reason for the financial situation. If in fact there is, and I'm not asserting it, but if there in fact is alleged mismanagement of the business model, does the government have any obligation under existing precedent to prop it up?
Or not even mismanagement, just flawed assumptions going into the business?
May I answer the question?
Yes, you may.
I think yes, Justice Kelsey and Justice McCullough, this court still has an obligation to address whether the failure to give the tolls constitutes a taking. And regardless of the justification, this court still has to address it. There was no finding below that there was mismanagement. There was no finding below that anything was done inappropriately or incorrectly. We have consistent, the hearing examiner noted, every hearing examiner that's touched this case has looked at the debt structure. The debt structure is not a surprise to anybody. We don't hide it. The General Assembly was aware of it. The commission has been aware of it. And with the last with the last refinancing in 2005, everyone acknowledged that what happened was prudently incurred.
And so because could I ask one quick follow-up?
Of course.
There, under the agreement with the bondholders, there money gets put in these different accounts, and there's at least originally when the filing was made, there was something like $200 million. At least when it was filed, and I understand down the road it could be a big problem, but at the time of the filing, there was a substantial reserve that allowed the company to stay afloat. How does that factor into the constitutional analysis?
Thank you, Justice McCullough, for asking that question. I think it factors into the constitutional analysis in a couple of different ways. As we've noted in our brief, the company has had to dip into that fund to meet maintenance and operation costs due to the failure to give us the toll increases in this rate case. That's one. Two, that reserve fund has restrictions on it. As we've touched on in our reply brief, that limit how and when it may be used. And what is happening now is the commission, by failing to give us the toll increases, is causing the company to dip into that fund, which will put the company in a position where it will continue to not be able to meet maintenance and operation costs, and it's going to have to continue to dip into that fund. And it will get to the point where that fund cannot be touched anymore because of other restrictions on it. And so just as this court addressed in 2016, if you look at the end of this court's opinion in 2016, including footnote 15 of that opinion, the court noted that the relief sought by then-Delegate Ramadan and Loudoun County, where they wanted to reduce the Greenway's tolls, would, in essence, constitute a taking. And so if this court disagrees with TRIP 2 on the statutory arguments that we've advanced, I think this court has to address the constitutional issues to determine whether, notwithstanding the statutory issues, the failure to give us a toll increase constitutes a taking. And I think under existing precedent from this court and the Supreme Court of the United States, it does. We'd ask the court to reverse the decision of the commission. Thank you.
Please call the next case.